T.S. Eliot tells the story very well in his classic poem, so magnificently read by Alec Guinness, The Journey of the Magi. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of year for a journey. The enigmatic men of mystery, the wise men who came from the East, whose familiar silhouette strides across a million Christmas cards and forms the dramatic backcloth to the birth narratives of Jesus of Nazareth. So who were they? Why did they pursue the search, the sacred quest, with such vigour and tenacity? And what was their reaction when they reached the end of their exhausting journey? One of the many blessings of having a daughter with a keen interest in astronomy is that sometimes you find yourself at 2 a.m., lying on your back in a stubble field, staring at the stars. You see, you have to go where there is very little light pollution, and you need to go when there's no cloud, and you need to go when the sky is particularly interesting. So 2 a.m. in a field, in the middle of nowhere, seems to be about right, apparently. So it's get out of bed, Dad, get your clothes on, get the car started, and take me, please, to look at the stars. Mind you, you can see what he meant, the poet King David, when he reflects that when he looks at the stars, he wonders at the greatness of the universe and becomes acutely aware of his own insignificance. He writes, I look at the heavens, the moon and the stars, the works of your hand, and I wonder, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you think of him? Study of the universe in its vastness and complexity rightly generates in any thinking person a sense of wonder and awareness that however much we know, actually, we know very little. For example, if you were travelling at the speed of light, 180,000 miles per second, 180,000 miles per second, you would get to the moon in 12 seconds. You would get to the sun in 8 minutes. But even at that speed, it would take you 4.3 years to reach the nearest star. You would need 400 years to reach the North Star, and to cross our galaxy, the Milky Way, would take 120,000 years travelling at the speed of light. Astronomers now reckon that there are 100 million galaxies. So yes, that sound you hear is my head exploding. Study of the universe and reflection upon its perplexing scope and mind-sapping scale should make wise men and women of us all prepared to be humbled by the vastness of our ignorance, by how partial and inadequate is our knowledge, and how hard we must look to find understanding. Johann Kepler, the brilliant German mathematician, astronomer and scientist, wrote this prayer. Praise the Lord, ye heavenly harmonies, and all ye who know the revealed harmonies, for from him, through him and in him, all is which is perceptible as well as spiritual, that which we know and that which we do not know, for there is still so much to learn. Amen. There is still so much to learn. But were these wise men astronomers or astrologers? It's an important distinction. While most of us will listen with respect to the scientific insights of a bona fide astronomer, we might wish to reserve a certain degree of incredulity when offered solutions to our life problems by the astrologer in our daily newspaper. In the ancient mind, however, these distinctions were perhaps less rigidly in place, and the appearance of a new celestial phenomenon, a star, a comet, whatever, cause for rejoicing and scientific whoops of delight when located by the Hubble telescope in our times, would be reason enough in ancient times to assume that some event of cosmic significance was unfolding somewhere. For them, it was about a moment of revelation offered to the world, and they must pursue that moment and seize it. The rise of a new star heralded, in their way of thinking, a moment in which the curtain would be pulled back and humanity would have a chance to peek into the will of God, catch a glimpse of his purposes. And so they mustn't let that moment slip through their grasp. They had to risk everything, leave everything else. This was too significant, too crucial. They had to go. They had to face the stares of disbelief from their community, their family, their friends, and make the journey of the Magi an event so engraved upon the consciousness of history that their shadows against the skyline would become emblematic, an icon, a classic picture of the search of the human spirit for truth and meaning. You could never have imagined, and they could never have imagined, that their response to the mystery of a new thing happening in the world, the possibility that something of cosmic significance was happening or about to happen, would over the centuries be celebrated across the world in a million nativity plays and countless singings of We Three Kings of Orient Are. For them, it was just what they had to do, where they had to go, or risk missing the moment, the earth-shattering moment. It's that excitement of discovery that Isaiah speaks of so forcefully. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. In a dark world, full of unknowns and swirling mists of confusion, when God's light breaks over the gloom, when the moment of enlightening truth is upon us, we must embrace that light and delight in that hope. Turn from our lesser preoccupations and seize the day. Make the crucial discovery that in this shockingly intimidating universe of staggering vastness, we are not alone. We are not forgotten. We are not left to stumble in blind panic in the terrifying darkness, but are invited to share the light, to understand the truth, to be enfolded by the love. John describes it in his gospel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never, will never, can never overcome it. So they made their exhausting journey, endured the suspicious looks, paid the exorbitant prices, and put up with the privations. A dangerous, crazy journey. And as it turned out, all for what? You can't escape the sense of shock and surprise. They had been working with traditional categories. Usually it all hung together, you see, it made sense. Stars, royal births, palaces, gold, kings, princes, that's how it went down in the hood. Certainly there was no place in that traditional menu for stables, unmarried mothers, bleary-eyed shepherds, deadly danger, fleeing refugees, murderous kings. The conclusion of their journey brought the requirement of a radical rethink, a category shift. As if they were cruising along happily in fourth gear and suddenly, with a screeching, grinding squeal of disbelief, they had to throw the car into reverse. Unexpected hardly does it justice. Shocking barely covers it at all. But, that said, nonetheless, they know the truth when they meet it. They are wise men, after all, and they kneel and worship. How did they know? What insight, what truth revealed to them there, brought them freely and happily to their knees? Speculation is merely that, speculation. Though you would be justified in surmising that they would ask probing, searching questions of the mother, check out the background to this remarkable turn of events. And you can be sure that even though they still had questions, gaps in their knowledge, they would have no hang-ups about recognising the limits of their knowledge, their limits. Wise men do that, recognise their limits. The tomb of the Venerable Bede in Durham Cathedral has a wonderful prayer of his written beside it, in which he acknowledges that, though he was considered the smartest man in England in his day, he acknowledges that all the knowledge he had was of no account compared with the delight and wonder of knowing and serving God. This is what the prayer says. And I pray thee, loving Jesus, that as thou hast graciously given me to drink in with delight the words of thy knowledge, so thou wouldst mercifully grant me to attain to thee one day, the fountain of all wisdom, and to appear forever before thy face. To attain one day to thee, the fountain of all wisdom. No in-your-face human arrogance there, just a recognition of limitations. And the visitors from the East were too shrewd, too canny to fall into the trap of thinking that their little minds could cope, smart cookies though they were, with the mysteries of God's plans and the wonder of his love. They had to receive that gift and rejoice in it long before they would ever even begin to understand it, grasp it, define it, analyse it. They had to receive that gift. Such is the way of faith. And it would not be stepping beyond the facts to imagine that sensing intuitively the ugliness and capacity for violence in Herod the king, and then be confronted by the innocence and loveliness of the child, that they knew with a quiet certainty that here in this simple place, this astonishing story unfolding before their eyes, that here was the better way. Here was the true hope for humanity. One final important element in the story. Now that they'd come, these distant travellers from another culture, a different belief system, now that the Gentile world was involved in the revelation of God, the whole situation required a new set of boundaries. In fact, suddenly there were no boundaries. These foreigners and their adoration gave the lie to the idea that this was merely some little local difficulty, some minor twist to the Jewish tale that had no currency or worth beyond the borders of Palestine. There was now no chance of containment, that the story would be told and would simply live and die within the confines of Judaism, that the Jewish faith would deal in its own way with the hopes and fears of all the years met in Bethlehem that night. The rest of the world would neither hear nor care about it. Now it had all opened up to include the whole world. The non-Jewish world was invited to pay homage to this child. Matthew, of all the gospel writers, the most Jewish in intent and style, right from the start, establishes the credentials of the Saviour as the Saviour of the world, the whole wonderful, crazy world. Matthew's poetic drama invites us to see how, like a supernova of revelation, the light of God has burst across the world, and everyone can share in the moment of revelation. Everyone can enjoy the discovery that God is with us, God is for us, and that the light of the world is come. Thanks be to God for the gospel.